Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Thank you for joining me again. If you joined me yesterday, ended up scheduling the wrong time. So thank you for being flexible. And so I called this one Divine Counsels and Things Hidden Unveiled by the Spirit. You know, I love the prophetic anointing. And like I said over the last however many weeks, the Holy Spirit is the prophetic, and He loves to show us the kingdom. He loves to reveal truth to us. He loves to have us come and swim in His river where He just takes over and we ride in His current. It's the flow of the Spirit, and He unveils it and reveals the deep and hidden things of God to us through Him. It says He searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. Don't you love that? And that's, of course, from the Amplified. Love the Amplified study. And so, of course, we want to thank IHOP Kansas for allowing me to play their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them, and make His face to shine upon them and give them peace and give them above and beyond what they could ever ask or think or even imagine to fulfill their part of Your story, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're going to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of our enemies. And we thank You for that, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And my prayer today is this: Lord, as we discuss You, Father, in Jesus' name, and by Your power, Holy Spirit, that You will show us, I love it, You will show us, that we can literally see You. By Your power, Holy Spirit, let us apprehend that You long to, as our Abba, Daddy, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Lord, that You love to grant us, and thank You for doing that. Thank You for granting us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of who You are, Lord, by having the eyes of our mind, the faculty of knowing, of our hearts flooded with light, just as it is written in the Greek concordance that You give us light to shine upon us, to enlighten us, to illuminate us, to bring us light, to render evident, to cause to exist and thus come to light and become clear to us all, to enlighten us, to spiritually imbue us with Your saving knowledge, to instruct us, to inform us, to teach us, to give us understanding so that we can know and understand the hope to which You have called us, and how rich is Your glorious inheritance in us, Lord, Your set apart ones. And so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of Your power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of Your mighty strength, which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And Lord, to help us all apprehend that we are already seated there. And Lord, what does that really mean? And I thank You. That's been my prayer, and I keep pressing into that. And I Thank God also for Mike Bickle's teaching on the beauty of God and intimacy with him. And so I just thank God for IHOP. And, of course, I thank God for CI too. So, and I thank God for Agape Love Bible College. And I thank God for the beautiful ministers and mentors that he's put in my path. And so I want to say I'm going to be using mostly the Amplified today. So we know, and we need to know in our heart of hearts that God wants to talk with us. And I'm going to go into John 16, verses 13 through 15 in the Amplified. You know, we read this, but when we really muse on it, and I believe that that's why the Lord really wants us to meditate on the word, because when we really meditate on it, it's like, whoa, Lord, that is amazing. You know, and you sit and you think about what he is saying to us. It is past profound. And so I'm going to read that in the Amplified. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide us into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you and to me the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Well, there is the prophetic anointing right there. He will honor and glorify me. Jesus is saying this to us because he will receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you and to me. Isn't that gorgeous? Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine, Jesus is saying this to us, and will reveal them, declare them, disclose them, transmit them to you and to me. And that, of course, I just added that at the end, and it's from the Amplified. And then really muse on that for a minute. And I just want to kind of just say this back to you. The truth-giving Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will tell us what he hears from the Father about Jesus. And he will disclose it to us. He will declare it to us. He will transmit it to us. And I was like, transmit? Lord? I have to look that up. So I went into dictionary.com, and I just took a few of the definitions that I felt applied to us and how I wanted to, you know, the allegories God gave me. To allow the passage of particles, energy, and radio waves that are transmitted through the atmosphere. Think about that just for a minute, because the Holy Spirit, he is, I mean, I don't want to say, and I don't want to use the word energy like New Age, okay, because that's not what I mean. But the Holy Spirit has energy. He has dunamis, dynamite, and he has energy. Holy Spirit energy, like radio waves, transmitted through the atmosphere right into our spirits from him. So I'm trying to have you think about how he works. Imagine him being the person who, like radio waves, transmits and broadcasts us the very things of heaven, because he does. And it says to send out signals by means of radio waves or along a transmission line. Well, he is the transmission line, okay? And so he wants to transmit us, and that word was used in the Amplified. He wants to transmit to us and disclose to us everything the Father wants to say about Jesus to us. So it's just incredible that God speaks to us, showing us that we have spiritual senses, because I want you to think about this scripture. And in the Dewey Rheims, I want to tell you what it says too. It's just awesome. Go into Psalm 34:8. Taste, you think about this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And in the Dewey Rhymes, it says something so awesome. It says, taste and see that the Lord is sweet. And I love that because if you look in 02938 in the Hebrew, it says literally taste, perceive, and eat. Don't you love that? Because when our spiritual senses are activated, we can literally taste things and see things and hear things and smell things and touch things in the spirit as the Lord shows us and speaks to us and gives us what he wants, which sense he's using at that time and how he wants to explain something to us. Look at number 07200 in the Hebrew Concordance, because that word where it says taste and see. Now, I'm not going to repeat. I tried to take out repeating sentences just for time's sake. So look at, inspect, perceive, consider, to have vision, to look at, to regard, to look after, to see after, to learn about, to observe, to watch, to look upon, look out, find out, consider, give attention to, discern, distinguish, look at, gaze at. You know, think of, what do you think of when you think of you're gazing at something? You are intently looking at this, and God wants us to intently look at him, to taste and see that he is sweet, that he is good, to be seen, because he wants to be seen, to appear, to present oneself, to self, to be visible, because that's what he wants to do. He wants us to see him, to gaze at him. I remember last week we were talking about to stand upon the watchtower, to watch, to stand on the watchtower and to see, to look. it's amazing. He wants us to see him. He's visual. I mean, if he's our best friend, which he's supposed to be, and we have that first love encounter with him, don't you talk to your best friend? Don't you see your best friend? Well, he wants us to be able to do that in the spirit. That's what visions and dreams and the anointing, the pouring out of Pentecost that he did, were our dreams and visions and prophecy. And then he has all of his gifts, because he is in us and we are in him. We're one in him. Read John 17 if you don't understand that. To cause, to look at intently, to behold, to gaze at, to be caused to seen, to be shown, to be exhibited. And I love this one. To look at each other, and it's like a face-to-face, really. It's really personal, isn't it? But it's to those who choose to take refuge in him. So there are conditions, just like if you think about Psalm 91. It says, to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And if you read it in the Amplified, it says to those, you know, who say, Lord, you're my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then it uses the words then. If you've never read Psalm 91 in the Amplified, oh, it's so beautiful. And you'll understand that if you do those things, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, then Psalm 91 will become a reality in your life. It's beautiful. It really is. Think about this. We're going to go in 1 Corinthians 2:9 in the Amplified. I believe there's only one scripture which I will tell you today that is not the Amplified. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and is not entering into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready. Isn't that beautiful for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed? Yet to us, now here's where I got my title from the Amplified, from 1 Corinthians 2:10. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and hidden and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what a person perceives, knows, and understands, what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him, just so no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. And I really, really want you to think about this next verse also. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language. And you know what? What is the spiritual language? It's praying in the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about that in the last many weeks, talking about tongues to those who possess the Holy Spirit. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man tries all things. This is 1 Corinthians 2:15. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or praise or get an insight into him. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. Oh my gosh, really? Muse on that one for a minute. We have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Also, I want to make this point. I am not saying that if you do not have the gift of tongues, you are not saved. So I am not saying that. However, what I am saying is it's your inheritance. It's your portion. That's what I'm saying. You have the right to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that pretty thoroughly. And we looked for doctrine in Acts 19 and many other places. So in Acts 2, in the Weymouth version, it says this: Peter, however, together with the 11, stood up and addressed them in a loud voice, "Men of Judea and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem," he said, "be in no uncertainty about this matter, but pay attention to what I say. For this is not intoxication as you suppose it, being only the third hour of the day." You know, and I have described the presence of the Lord. It can really be intoxicating. And I never saw this said before, except for in this version. And it's just so appropriate because it's a beautiful intoxication of the Spirit. But that which was predicted through the prophet Joel has happened, and it shall come to pass. In the last days, God says that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall have dreams, and even upon my bondservants, both men and women. At that time, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that is, we are in that time. We really, really are. You know, at this time in history, it is so incredible because think about, there's just multitudes of Muslims that are seeing Jesus in their dreams, and they are coming to him in the multitudes. And I believe with all my heart we are in that time. The Holy Spirit pours out. Why does he pour out the gifts? Why does he give us gifts and pour out dreams and visions and prophecy? So that we can know him. so that we can stand him, so that we can know things. Think about 2 Corinthians 4:6 and 7. And this is also in the Amplified. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Is that not absolutely gorgeous? However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. I mean, we always have to give glory to the Lord because everything really is from him and through him and to him. Since we consider and look not, this is 2 Corinthians 4:18. Does God really want us to pursue the realm of eternity? Yes, he does, because if he didn't, Ezekiel would not have had any visions. Isaiah would not have had any visions. Zechariah, John, I could go on and on. Paul, Peter, Cornelius, Joseph with dreams, the two Josephs. That's how Joseph knew to leave Bethlehem with Mary and Jesus. Joseph saved nations because of a dream interpretation. Daniel saw the future. He knew the profound and hidden things. He saved himself and many from death because of dream interpretation and the prophetic anointing. The prophetic anointing operated in numbers. The miracles and signs and wonders, that's who God is. We try to humanize him, and he is not. He's supernatural, and everything he does is supernatural, and he comes into our realm in the spirit, and that's how he talks to us. And he changes things, like, for instance, sickness. He brings healing into this realm. Everything about him is supernatural. Think about being born again. That's supernatural. We have a spiritual birth. That is supernatural. You can't naturalize God and try to fit him in a box. So since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Praise you, Jesus. It can never be talked about enough. We're going to go in, we're going to talk about Moses. Everything that happened in Moses' life was pretty much supernatural. So we're going to take, because God is supernatural. And so we're going to look at a little bit of the process that happened to him. We know he defended an Israelite and then ended up killing an Egyptian, and he fled for his life from Egypt. And it says in Exodus 2:21, it says, and Moses was content to dwell with a man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. I always love, I mean, the Lord just illuminated to me that he was content, but God had a bigger plan, and he does for us too. And he doesn't want us to be content in the sense of we should go from glory to glory. Yes, we're supposed to be content where we are, yet God always brings us from glory to glory. And she bore a son, and he called his name Gershom, expulsion, or a stranger. Therefore, he said, I have been a stranger and a sojourner in a foreign land. God had a plan, and the process for Moses, you know, to take out whatever God wanted to take out was 40 years. And he saw something in Moses, and in spite of himself, God knew he would submit to his plan. Although he tried to, he's like, Lord, I don't know how to speak. I stutter. And, you know, the Lord was kind of a little irritated, but he knew that Moses would submit to his plan. However, after a long time, nearly 40 years, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites were sighing and groaning because of the bondage. They kept crying, and their cry because of slavery ascended to God. You know, when we cry to God, he hears us. And God heard their sighing and groaning and earnestly remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God's a covenant God. And through the blood of Jesus, we have a covenant with God, and the blood of Jesus speaks for us. It speaks of redemption. It speaks of freedom. It speaks of salvation. And the word sozo explains salvation is so much more than receiving Jesus. I mean, of course, that's the most incredible is salvation, but he has so much more for us while we live on the earth. In Exodus 3, there's some awesome things we can glean from. There is something about shepherds God loves, isn't there? Moses sees a theophany of God, yet God wanted to see if Moses would pay attention, and he did. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back or west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb or Sinai, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, yet was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. So he could have just passed on by, right? He could have looked and been like, wow, that's really weird. Oh, I'm going to get out of here. But he didn't do that. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. The Lord was literally watching to see if Moses would turn aside, or in other words, to pay attention to what he saw. And so God said, do not come near. Put your shoes off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. Also, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Isn't that amazing? He was afraid to look at him. Yet he turned, and God allowed Moses to know him face to face. And we're going to talk about that too. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors. For I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand and power of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a land good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, you know, when you think of behold, it's like, that's a pretty amazing word, because it's like, whoa, I mean, really, gaze on this. Think about this. Muse on this. This is a big, big deal, right? And so the Lord says, behold, behold, the cry of the Israelites has come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will surely be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, Horeb, or Sinai. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God said also to Moses, this shall you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and by this name I am to be remembered to all generations. Did you ever notice that the servants of God and his people, when they were with his servants who tarried with him in prayer and who practiced his presence, they always encountered him? God always has a process for those who will submit to it. And he wants us to encounter him. And so I'm going to stop a minute, because the whole purpose is we want heaven to come to us. And heaven is in us. The kingdom is in us. And so we should expect to encounter God in the realm of the spirit. And so I'm going to stop and play Let Heaven Come. And Lauren Holmes is one of them. I believe she's the worship leader.
Let heaven come.
Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to try to let that play. I don't know if you can hear that or not in the background, but his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And I want to go into Exodus 33, which I talk about so much because it's such a beautiful chapter that shows that we can have that intimate face-to-face relationship. And there's some clues in here. And so we're going to start it at verse 7. Now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting of God with his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And in my language and yours, I believe it means that we just get away from everything and everybody. You know, one of our things we did in the School of the Prophets is we took a notebook and we went in our room and we said, Lord, and we put on worship music and we said, Lord, what would you like to say to us, Lord? What would you like to show us? And at first, I didn't really know what to expect, but wow, he showed me things. He spoke spirit to spirit to me. You know when God speaks in your heart and you hear his wisdom, you hear his word. Well, he shows us things in the spirit. He wants us to have that kind of encounter with him. And so when Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people rose and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tent. And it's like, you know, they didn't have their own. They looked at Moses. They looked at his relationship with the Lord, but they didn't have their own. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would talk to Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the tent, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man at his tent door. You see, they were at the door, but they didn't enter their own tent. They didn't go into their own tent of meeting with God. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. Well, and I always talk about that. Why? Why did he stay there? Because the glory of God was there. And he was another prophet in training. He wanted to sit in the intoxicating presence of God. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way." This is the most amazing prayer. You can make this a prayer. Exodus 33:12 and on. "Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, Lord." Show me now your ways. What a prayer. Lord, show us your ways, that we may know you progressively and become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you. This is in the Amplified, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly. Lord, that we would find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people. And I'm saying that about the United States. I'm saying that about the church in the United States. And I lift up the churches around the world and the nations of the world. Lift up yours and say, Lord, consider this nation your people. Bring revival to this nation, Lord. And the Lord said in verse 14, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Oh, thank you, Lord. We need that. Thank you for your presence, because you're in us. We have such a major advantage even over Moses, because he is in us, the hope of glory. We are one with him. John 17, "And I will give you rest." Oh, thank you, Lord. We need that rest. And Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here." And what a great prayer. That's like saying, Lord, you know, if you're not in whatever it is, say you're doing something and it seems good, but you don't, it's like, Lord, I don't sense that you're in this thing. It's like, don't do it. It might be good, but it might not be God. And so we have to make sure, Lord, are you in this, Lord? Do you want me to do this? And it can be something ministry. And so we have to make sure whatever ministry we're doing, that God is in this thing. "For by what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the other people upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have asked. For you have found favor, loving kindness, and mercy in my sight, and I know you personally and by name. And Moses said, I beseech you, Lord, show me your glory. The Lord did. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you, for I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place beside me, and you shall stand upon the rock. And think about that. Who is the rock? Let's think about that. When we stand upon the rock, we can even go into the very holy place. The rock is Jesus. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Of course, he did see him face to face in the cloud, didn't he? And so we're going to stop here because we're going to talk about David next week. David had the most amazing relationship with the Lord too, as Moses did. And so, you know, these are people who submitted to the process of God. And so we're going to talk about that next week with David because, of course, I ran out of time. And so I'm going to play the song. If you listened yesterday at all, I ended up playing that song and ended up not doing the right time increments. So thank you for joining me again today. Please listen to this song. It's so beautiful. It's by Matt Gilman. And so it's called, if you listened yesterday, God, I Look to You. And that's what this whole thing is about, to look to Him. Thank you for joining me.